Welcome to the Extensive Reading Podcast, where we take an intensive look at extensive reading. I'm your host, Travis Past, along with me.
And this is Jose Camino.
Hi, Jose.
Yeah, hi, Travis. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing real good.
So, this is our 19th.
Yep, we're on 19. Almost to 20.
Yeah.
We'll have to celebrate at 20 for no particular reason. Thank you for bearing with us while we're... figure out what we're doing here. We hoped you enjoyed episode 17 and 18, where we talked with Paul Nation. And if you haven't, go back and take a listen.
That was very, very good.
Yeah, he gave us a real detailed overview on the four strands and incorporating extensive reading into that and how that can fit in your classroom. And
from a broader point of view of language learning and acquisition and why we are doing what we are doing as teachers and learners.
That was great.
So yeah, I can honestly recommend this because most of the talking was Paul Nations. It's not as if I'm recommending my own stuff. And it was very good. So yeah, go ahead and listen to episodes 17 and 19 and 18.
If you haven't. And if you didn't know, you can find those on our website, which is erpodcast.wordpress.com.
And
the podcast application. I said this in our previous episodes, but if you've missed a few, you can find us on the podcast app or any podcast application. Just search Extensive Reading Podcast and you could subscribe, you could rate, you can review, all those fun things if you're so inclined.
And then leave plenty of comments. On the website.
Yeah, but leave comments on our website because we would like to encourage discussion there. So again, that's erpodcast@wordpress.com. And our email.
Yeah, if you want to send us an email, we are at exrpodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget about that X.
19 episodes, we got this down. So anyway, today.
Yeah, today we have cheating and academic dishonesty. Yeah, it's not the teachers who are cheating, it's the students who are doing the cheating in ER programs.
Oh.
And now this is being researched, and this is being researched by our guests. So today we have two professors from Akita International University in Japan, in the north of Japan. And one of them is Professor Naeko Naganuma, who's taught English as a second language in the United States and in Japan for quite a while. And, well, her research interests include CALL, or computer-assisted language learning, and second language vocabulary acquisition.
Yeah, and along with her we have Professor Patrick Doherty, and he's taught in Bangladesh and the United Arab Emirates and here in Japan. And his research interests are more on teacher development, the use of creative writing, and student heritage in the EFL-ESL classroom. And then the impact of distance learning methodologies on pedagogy.
So together with another professor, Professor Yuichi Tagane, these professors authored a recent article for The Language Teacher on cheating and on academic dishonesty in extensive reading programs and how to minimize it.
So, without further ado...
Anyway, I'm Pat. This is Naeko.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And you're up in Akita, huh?
Yes. We're up in Akita, nice and snowy Akita.
Spring has already come to Kansai, so we're enjoying that.
Don't tell us that.
No. We're not ready to hear that.
Oh, it's a lovely day. The sun shines.
All right, that's enough for the interview.
Yeah. Thanks for that. That was great. Okay, so the first question we ask all our guests is how they got involved in extensive reading and how they found about it. How they found out about it. So if you could tell us about your background with extensive reading, that'd be great.
Okay, please.
Okay, I'm gonna go first. I've been here since 2004, and as far as I can remember, we started to integrate extensive reading components into the reading curriculum around 2008. Mm-hmm. And I can find the oldest syllabi with ER in 2009. But I'm pretty sure before that, during the year of 2008, we already have started doing something with it. Because since the opening of the university, all the teachers were talking about how we have to expose students to more reading materials with different types of topics. And we first started really focusing on intensive reading. Mm. So we wanted to add something, and then we naturally found having the library of graded readers. But at that time, we didn't have the independent learning center per se. At that time, we had the center called Self-Access Center. So it's not like with a library of extensive reading materials only, but it was more of that learning center where students can just find random materials. Hmm. And they were, I think they had the hours allocated as part of the curriculum with teachers. Now everything is all independent at AIU. So it was a bit different, but we started to do something with ER, I would say, since 2007 or 8.
Okay, mm-hmm. So for about 10 years now.
Yep. I guess, that's surprising.
Yeah. Well, my interest actually goes back to the dark ages almost. I started as a high school teacher in the United States, and so we're talking almost pre-computer. But as an ESL teacher there, I was very keen on kind of moving my students into reading actual books, because I felt that was the most effective way for them to encounter new vocabulary. And of course, books, magazines, newspapers, a lot of what I was able to use were things that I had to bring in myself, because we never were successful at getting a budget for graded readers. It was never a high priority item for my school district. Mm. They would always just say, well, can't you just use any book? And I would try to explain the challenges in that concept, but it never was successful. So, and then before coming to AIU, I was working in the Middle East, where we had self-learning centers that were completely computerized. So we had no actual materials, physical materials for students to read, but that we had online sites that they would go to and materials there. So that was kind of how I transitioned, I think, psychologically from thinking extensive reading needed to be books and students, magazines and students, you know, hardbound material, to the idea that, okay, it could be something done very effectively online. And our students in the Middle East were very keen on using technology, iPads, computers to access. They were more happy to read online than they were if we handed them a book. And they liked the convenience of it with the smartphone era coming in, where they'd actually just use their smartphones or their iPads wherever they were. So that was something that kind of moved me into maybe the computer age from my old stages. And then I've joined AIU in 2013. And this extensive reading program was already active when I joined. And currently, I'm in charge of the EAP program and foreign language education. So I'm always keen on encouraging faculty to expand on areas that they have found successful. And if areas are not successful, looking for alternatives. So this is something that I think has been very successful here. So I'm eager to support it.
Yeah, you were mentioning about like an independent learning center. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about that? And how? Sorry, that's not on a question or anything.
That's fine. Actually, we have we call it LDIC. Our students in our EAP program, for example, they have to spend 60 hours in the Learning Development Center.
Okay.
Per semester. It's part of the curriculum, actually. And the center is an interesting place for learning. They have graded readers. They have movies. They have television, so students can access BBC. That we have quiet rooms that are insulated where students can use Rosetta Stone. We have books, magazines, and materials in each of the languages that we teach at AIU. Okay. So it's not just English, it's also French, it's Spanish, it's Chinese, it's Korean. And so it's a place where students go primarily for language instruction and support, but it's completely independent in the sense they go there. And it's kind of like, think of going to a wonderful shopping center or grocery store where you can just pick items off the shelf. That's kind of the idea. It's to move them to a point where they see their learning as something that they should have a say in, that they should have control over, and also responsibility for.
That's great. But,
yeah, and we've been, I think, since it was founded, basically, right, Emily, in some form of a learning center, right?
Yeah, I think we started with the Soap Access Center.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And we started to just call it different names.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think the concept itself mm-hmm. has not changed.
And one other thing that's an element now, just over the last couple of years there, is that we also have language partners. And so we're lucky that we have 250 international students on campus every semester, approximately. They come from our partner institutions all over the world. So let's say you're studying Spanish. And you want to practice Spanish outside the classroom. And it's kind of hard. Okay, who do I practice with? We have people who volunteer, native Spanish speakers who volunteer to be language partners. And so you sign up online, you make an appointment, you go, and you can, and they know what your level is, basic, intermediate, et cetera. And they will talk to you about, you know, whatever topics you desire to discuss. And it's been very, very successful. We have that for Russian, for Spanish, for French, for Korean, for Chinese. Also for English, we have our students who are, of course, we're an English medium school, so they need to improve their English, and so they can go there outside of the class time and just, you know, have conversations. And so that's part of our learning center, actually. So it's a very dynamic place, I think. A lot of good things are happening there.
Wonderful.
And
wonderful.
According to your research, a lot of bad things are happening there, too.
Yes, unfortunately.
What was your motivation for researching cheating?
Okay, well, you want to take the first part of that?
Sure. I think actually originally we were doing something, a separate study. So we were interviewing students who were involved in that study. Then we just, you know, we were just interviewing, and it was kind of not... it was semi-open interviews, not always following the questions.
Sure.
So we kind of ended up talking about, I've heard that some people were not honest.
Mm-hmm.
Could you just tell us more about it? And they were willing to tell us what other people are doing.
Yeah.
Right? Of course.
Never
you know,
themselves.
I know someone who.
I have this friend. Yeah.
And of course, that was actually the interviews were held after the semester was over. So they didn't care about anything, what might happen to them or anything, because the courses were over. And we kind of have, since our school is really small, we kind of know everyone, and we feel pretty comfortable just chatting about many things. And along that line, I and Yuichi Tagane-sensei were interviewing, and we kind of had that question in mind, if students were willing to share
mm-hmm.
that cheating strategies. And they just told us all the things that other people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought, then that's kind of interesting. Part of that interview data that we should just write a paper about. So that was not the motivation.
No, it wasn't initially. It came out of the other research, and so it became kind of a. We were intrigued then, of course. Okay, well, this is something that definitely could impact the quality of the learning experience. So what's happening? And so that's where, you know, it basically came from the students. This topic of cheating came from the students, from interviews for this other research. And I think, you know, having been an educator for 30 years, I mean, I know humans are humans, and I know the tendency to try to find the easy way out is consistent, right? And we work with students who are in our English for Academic Purposes program, our foundation program, incredibly hard. They go from primarily the Japanese K-12 system, where learning is all in Japanese, to suddenly being thrown in here, where everything's in English. And they have a lot of work. And so naturally, I think some of them might look for the occasional shortcut. And I think reading is a skill that's crucial, but it's also difficult. And it's time consuming, and the students are not really, because they're 18, 19, maybe they're not so good at organizing their time yet. And they often find themselves up against deadlines and such that they were not anticipating or weren't ready for. And so that's part of the issue. Right?
And of course, extensive reading components of the curriculum is not never, but as often not prioritized.
Oh, really?
Preparing for the presentations or writing a final paper, they want to just, if they have to choose between preparing for that final presentation, which has like 30% of the grades, versus reading extensive reading materials, they have to prioritize
sometimes.
I think sometimes our students, when they know, and I was watching several student presentations just a short while ago, so it's in my mind. When they know they have to get up in front of their peers and a teacher and present, that becomes kind of the number one concern. And so that's where their energy tends to go. And we do a lot of presentations in the EAP program, not just in our speaking and listening courses, but every course has some sort of a presentation component, so that tends to be where they're very concerned. Where, how exposed will they be? I mean, so when you're talking about graded readers, it's just them and the graded reader and maybe the teacher, as opposed to the whole class. And in our research, we offer some ways to actually, I just say, take advantage of that impulse to not want to look bad in front of their peers. I kind of would call it positive peer pressure, to motivate them, encourage them to actually do the reading and do a good job with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very nice.
I can relate with that completely, just that idea of you have limited time and, well, you need to prioritize something, and although I have to stand in front of a group of people, I'm going to prioritize that, so it's very relatable.
Sorry, are you using M-Readers quizzes?
We have four levels in the EAP program. The bottom two levels, level one and level two, the teachers are using mReader. And some teachers choose to do more. So students have to take the mReader quizzes to prove that they have read each book, then they have to submit some writing too.
Sure.
Not like summary, but a reflection type of writing, probably by 150 or 200 words per paper. And also I think every teacher in the reading program who uses extensive reading component would have students discuss what they have read every week, so that they have the pressure that they have to read something new. Otherwise, they will be talking about the same book every week, and everyone will notice that. right? You've been talking about Christmas Carol for 1 month.
It's June.
You know,
it's February now. Things like that. So you have an understanding, our first two levels of EAP are students who have below a 500 TOEFL ITP upon entry, and our level three is for those who have above a 500. We have a fourth level that is called the Bridge Program. That's kind of for students who might have spent several years abroad or been already educated in an English medium environment. So the language skills, academic language skills, are already quite good. And it's just a different level and a different amount of type of work we do with them.
So could you please tell us about some of those ways in which students are cheating?
Okay, the sneaky ways they're cheating.
I was looking at your questions, mm-hmm. and one question was some of the most common forms of cheating that we encountered. And I was talking with Yuichi too, and we agreed that writing a book report or taking an extensive, reading comprehension quiz without actually reading a book is the most common form of cheating that we found. But there are different ways to do that. Mm-hmm. One was choosing a topic that they are already familiar with.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. So they would choose a greater reader about a famous person that they're already familiar with. So they don't have to read the book itself and pass the quiz or write a report. Second way was to choose a book about a movie they watched. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to read a book because they've already watched a movie. They don't have to read it. And the third form, the possible form, was to check the information on the internet. Mm-hmm. So they just Google it and they know about the person or they know about the movie without reading anything. And most times they would read in Japanese.
Oh, okay. Internet. So find like a Wikipedia article of maybe a historical figure, and then they have all the answers to the questions.
There's so many sources that they can find. In English or in Japanese.
Yeah.
Sometimes they might just look for the information in English and they didn't understand it, then they would switch it to Japanese website. Not like translation, or anything, but they would usually be able to find something similar in Japanese. So they would just look for those when they are really pressed by the time. Mm-hmm. So that's the most common form of cheating.
I think one of the ways that I thought was probably the most interesting to me method of cheating was actually because these websites for reading have timers that a student would actually use a self-timer, knowing that, okay, it would take me about a minute to go through each page, so I'll just set a timer. I think, how much time does that take as opposed to actually cheating?
You're putting more work into cheating than you would be if you were reading.
It's just like you're really taking so much time to cheat, you may as well just read the book.
Well, you mentioned reading and cheating with that, and we've talked to Paul Goldberg a couple of times, and he always gives in his presentation, he says it's cheat proof because of the timer.
I've
talked with Paul about that too. Because we were doing the presentation, and when was that? It was
November.
And Paul was there, and we were presenting about some methods of cheating. No, that was actually August. This paper was presented in
August. Oh, August, okay. Right? All right, yeah.
But he was there too.
He was there.
Anyway,
also, yeah.
I presented with Yuichi at the World Congress. In August, I think, and Pat and I presented at National JALT in November. So we are confusing those two. Mm-hmm. But we explained that interesting way of cheating or with the use of timer And he was just kind of laughing. Like, what can we do then now? If they do that, you know, they are, it's just that students just are so creative sometimes that they are really pressed for something and they became suddenly really creative. And even the student that who told us about the way of cheating, the use of timer, she was kind of laughing already too.
She knew it was ridiculous, right?
She was like, she didn't say who exactly, but one person was using iPhone to time, to turn the page, like basically the swipe the page on X reading. And she was reading something else for her presentation. So she had two materials next and she was doing that. And I was like, we really can't control that.
I would be suspicious if it took them exactly 60 seconds on each page, though. Then I would say, okay, this is interesting.
It's too perfect, right?
Yes, it's too perfect. Right. Well, I think in some ways, I mean, their kids are going to cheat because they're up against schedules that they weren't prepared for. They get overwhelmed. We have a lot of, I guess it's a typical situation that most Japanese universities, our students want to join circles and clubs. That becomes a focus of their lives and they suck up a lot of time. We do put limits in the EAP program on how many clubs they can join and that, but still they seem to, you know, it's a major, major element of Japanese university experience for our students are these clubs and activities. And so they get all these things going, but you also have those kids who just take it as a challenge to see if they can get away with something. You know, sometimes the really creative ones are just seeing what they can do to kind of, you know, challenge the system. And it's almost like a game in some ways. I won't call it malicious. It's more like they just think of it as a game to see what they can get away with. And our challenge, of course, is to find ways to make them understand why we think reading, extensive reading, is going to be a cornerstone to their language advancement, how it's going to help them overall. And we've done a lot of different things as far as trying to encourage them to understand what happens after EAP when they're in the regular programs, if we shall call them that, where textbooks are assigned with no consideration for language level and reading is expected and all these other things that are going to hit them very, very hard and very harshly if they're not ready, if they're not conditioned through the EAP program to understand how to read academically, how to monitor the reading, how to gain new vocabulary from the reading, all those things. And so we do have to kind of promote that with them. It's one of our suggestions is that be an emphasis. We have to explain to them why reading is so important and get them to buy in. So if they do have that, because we can't monitor everybody, and yes, they're going to come up with new ways to cheat. But if we explain to them that you're really cheating yourself in the long run, then maybe the motivation to actually follow what we're saying and do what we're asking them to do is there. I don't know if we're ready to start talking about suggestions for, you know, trying to avoid cheating or discourage it.
Yeah, please. Oh, that's okay. A perfect segue.
Okay. I'd like to, I guess I'll start with a couple of things that my suggestion is when we know the students like they do presentations, they take those very seriously. And the fact that they need to get in front of their peers and even a small group and sound intelligent about what they've read can be one way to motivate them to actually dig into the book and understand it enough that they can sound intelligent when discussing the book with their friends. So making sure that there's a presentation component in this extensive reading, I think is helpful. For that would be one of the suggestions I would make. Another suggestion that kind of came from me on this is that I'm a proponent of holding on to, for example, if a student gives a book report or if they give a report, anything written, that the teacher hold on to those and make it known that I'm holding on to these because we have a kohai senpai system like all Japanese.
Oh, yep.
And, you know, they're telling, oh, can you help me out, you know? And so if they know that the teachers are holding on to these examples of writing, maybe it might motivate them to avoid just borrowing a friend's, you know, writing from maybe before or 2 years before. That's another thing. Okay, so those would be a couple of suggestions I'll make. Now I'll turn it over to Naginuma Sensei for a few more.
I would say since I've been trying to make use of various ways to motivate students to read more or read more earnestly in a way.
I like that word. Earnestly.
Not honestly, but earnestly. actually, after this study, I found that there are many ways of cheating. And that was 2 years ago in fall. This research was done 2016 in fall. So actually last spring 2017, I was teaching the same class with a different students, and I actually shared, these are the cheating methods.
With that your students?
Yeah. The students did all these cheating methods, you know, used all these ways to cheat. Mm-hmm. And that kind of discouraged them to
saying, I know what you're doing.
I know what you're doing.
We're on to you.
Yeah.
Right? So they are aware that I'm aware of ways of cheating. Mm-hmm. So that really helped. That's one thing. And also another thing that I did differently from 2 years ago, this year, was that I explained the benefit of extensive reading repeatedly. So like they are tired of listening to me explaining the benefits of it, probably. But that really, some students told me, benefited in the way that they are always reminded of the reason why they are doing it. So they feel that when they feel that they are not doing well, or they don't feel that they are improving their reading skills, that's one of the things that reading instruction is difficult, because they can't see the improvement so much usually,
yeah,
because everything's happening slowly and in their head.
Yeah.
So they sometimes can feel the improvement, but because they're reading at a certain level, they can kind of measure their own improvement by reading a different book at the same level. At the beginning of the semester, it took them 3 hours to read it. But at the end of the semester, they were able to read it maybe half the time. Then they can feel that they have improved. And by reminding them, that will happen eventually. If you do it every day, little by little, not once a week for 3 hours, but every day, little by little, even 10 minutes here and there, you will see the improvement. And many of my students told me that they felt, eventually they felt that they have improved reading skills. So reminding them of the importance and reasons why they are asked to do that really helped, I think.
And I think one thing too is, if you have access to the, a few older students who've gone through the system, who are willing to talk about this, about what they got out of extensive reading, about how important reading is when they're in the other courses in the future, I think that can be very powerful. I mean, they kind of expect to hear the teachers, of course, saying it, and then, okay, fine, teacher. But it can be very powerful if you're able to bring in an upperclassman who went through the system and say, okay, can you talk to them? I'll even leave the room and have them explain what the benefit was. We've been doing that in different courses more and more. Very powerful for them to hear that from somebody like them, just a couple of years older, who was going through this and struggling, and they're saying it's worth it. So, okay, I better better pay attention.
Yeah, I like that, because you said the senpai system can kind of be a source of cheating, but you're turning that around and using that as a source of motivation.
Exactly.
Encouragement.
And another thing probably that worked well was that we've been giving them time every week, usually once a week for like 15 to 20 minutes to talk about what they have read in the classroom in pairs or groups. And as I was telling you that if they have only read the same book and they're talking about Christmas Carol every week, everyone would notice, right? But related to that, last spring, I didn't use X reading. So everyone was reading paperback books. Mm-hmm. And one thing that worked really well was to change the topic of writing every week. Mm-hmm. So they're not just writing about what did you think about the book, but they needed to write a different ending to the book for 1 week or for 2 weeks. Or sometimes they needed to talk about the change of the character. If you have to change one of the characters in the book, mm-hmm. who would you replace with somebody else? Those kind of things. So they really have to read it more mm-hmm. carefully to be able to write to the topic.
Mm-hmm.
They can't just copy paste somebody else's writing from different classes or from their senpai, because that was something new I did. And they really felt like, they felt the pressure that they have to read more carefully. Otherwise, they can't write that reflection with a different topic. So that was really helpful too, I think.
So coming up with the writing prompts that are kind of, you have no choice. You have to actually have read the book. Otherwise, you simply can't respond. I think that's it. Getting beyond the summarization, beyond just, okay, did you like the book, did you not? Being more creative with our writing prompts or reflection prompts, I think, is another thing that's important.
Have you considered favoring books that are written originally as graded readers? Because as you were explaining some of the ways they were cheating, I was thinking if it's an original graded reader, there's no way to find information. You're not going to find a movie or a Wikipedia article on it. So,
I think that would be one thing that we could do. But since it's extensive reading, they have to choose their own books.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't really force them to choose those books, right? So that's kind of always difficult to decide, because if we tell them what to read, it's against the principle.
Yeah. You're breaking the commandments.
Yeah. I think
so. It's difficult to say. Actually, I'm planning to use a class leader next spring and to see how things turn out with the use of cross reader, because some of that feedback that I got from the interviews was that they wanted to read the same book once or twice every semester so that they can learn or they can talk about the same book with the class.
Yeah.
Some people suggested that would be really beneficial. And I was kind of thinking the use of cross reader would be beneficial if I want to teach how to summarize a book, or how to use, how to teach reading to make an inference.
Okay.
If everyone's reading a different book, it's really difficult to find a good example or something that everyone can understand. So that can be another useful way. But I think, as you said, it might be interesting to see how original graded readers might be helpful to prevent cheating.
We would still have choices, possibly, but they would have a little bit of a limitation there. You could also still have a bit of democracy where students can, when you're trying to come up with a class reader, maybe come up with a list and tell them to discuss and vote. You know, what do we want to have as a class reader this term? And it's a way to still have that somewhat independent idea with this, and also the idea that, and we really try, I guess, I've always told our students that when they come to AIU, I want them to be scholars. Their student days are over. And then I explain to them what I mean by a scholar. A scholar is somebody who is active, is interested in learning, is willing to teach themselves if necessary, and is willing to become a community of scholars so they help each other out. And it's a psychological transformation from being that passive learner in, unfortunately, the typical Japanese high school. And I did work in Japanese high schools for 5 years, so trust me, I understand that situation. So we try to make them independent, responsible, and also kind of a sense of community and support of each other in this. And so the reading, that could be one way that we emphasize it too, where we still have a bit of democracy. And okay, what do you like to read? So that's part of it. And I think, you know, as we've said, a lot of this, they will come up with ways to cheat that we have never even thought about. So trying to show them the benefits of extensive reading, the benefits of reading, the necessity of it, and if not because they understand, oh, I can learn a lot, but maybe also that in the future, you're going to have to read even more, and you're not going to have the instructional scaffolding there to help you understand things. It's basically going to be read this and be ready for the test in 3 weeks. So they need to understand all those different possible motivations and then find one that's real for them, I suppose.
Yeah. Well said. Well said. Well, that's it for our questions. Is there anything that we're forgetting or that you'd like to add?
Let me see. I think one thing that we didn't want to do was to we didn't want to make X reading look bad. So by writing our articles, we feel like we are doing a bad job of selling X reading, because you know everyone can cheat with X reading or something, but that's not really true. Uh-huh. We feel X reading, the use of X reading will be really beneficial, depending on the situations, right? Mm-hmm. But I think just looking at our article on the language teacher, Paul has told us that he has gotten so many responses that
oh, no.
So students can cheat with X reading. Is it mm-hmm. true?
But I've read the article and I didn't get that impression at all. I mean, you can cheat. It doesn't matter whether you're using X reading or anything else. Sorry.
I think as I reread the article, I think we're very fair and clear. But you know, people will see headlines and then One thing that I want to say about this, and maybe in Japan isn't such an issue, but as far as using things like X reading or online platforms for reading, is I do a lot of work in developing countries. Specifically, I've been going to Bangladesh for the last 10 years now and doing work with English EFL teachers there. And issues they have is access to materials, you know, hardbound books. And also, it's a tropical country that has a tendency towards flooding. So libraries get flooded, things don't last, right? So it was a real issue, and I'm finding that now the technology is getting cheaper, now that people have access to smartphones that aren't costing as much as a car, this has also opened up areas, this digital sort of online reading and extensive reading, that I think ultimately is going to be very beneficial for the developing world or communities that don't have the means or the access or the place to store hardbound books and things. So I'm really supportive of these initiatives with M-Reader and with X-Reading, with these efforts to try to put things online, because I think worldwide that's going to really help us, I think, in education in general and EFL specifically. So yeah. I'm very supportive of this effort. And I'm not a technological whiz. I'm kind of a dinosaur that learned how to use a computer. But I have seen how this can be beneficial for communities in the developing world, and I hope that we can encourage people like Paul and others to continue the good work of trying to put this online so people worldwide can have access.
I was thinking about that when you mentioned maybe using class readers.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using a class reader, having X reading
makes things very much easier.
That's our plan.
Yeah.
If we get the budget, we would like to see and compare the use of class readers might be more helpful for students or not.
Mm-hmm.
If I have, you know, two classes and one class uses readers, both classes use X reading, and one of them uses class readers and the other doesn't, then we might see some differences.
Mm-hmm.
Or I might feel the differences between those two groups of students. So it will be really interesting because since X reading can easily give the students and the teacher access to the same book,
mm-hmm.
right? Physical books will be more difficult. I have to buy like 20 copies of the same book. And it sounds more financial burden in a way, but if we are using X reading, it's easier to do that. And I think it's one of the benefits of the use of X reading, probably.
I'm sure Paul would be happy to hear that.
Yeah. Ultimately, you know, if we have any agenda with our research is just to find out what works the best and what we can use and what we can do to encourage our students to take reading seriously and to get its full benefit. And that's the motivation for everything that we're doing. And we'll continue asking questions, continue looking at different options. There are, of course, always going to be financial constraints, but I think the ultimately it comes down to if we can find things that work very well for our students, and we'll find the money somehow. We'll find convince the budget people somehow that this is the direction we have to go.
Yeah.
And we'll base it on our research, we can prove to them.
Well, good luck.
Good luck with that.
Thank you. Okay, well, thank you for this opportunity. It's been enjoyable.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks to you for being
there. Yeah, it's our pleasure. We appreciate the time you gave us. So. Yeah.
Well, thanks. Thanks for the interview, Professors Doherty and Naganuma. I think we all learned a lot about cheating and ways to discourage.
Yeah, ways cheating. To discourage cheating and maybe things that students may or may not be doing. So.
And I'll be looking forward to new ways of cheating. I know Ms. Naganuma, Professor Naganuma will be doing some more research.
New innovations.
We came across this research through an article in The Language Teacher, and we'll leave a link with the show notes.
Yeah, so if you're interested, please read it. You can find it at our website, erpodcast.wordpress.com, and please feel free to leave a comment there if you have any opinions on that.
Or else you can just copy somebody else's opinion, we won't mind.
Or if you have an interesting story on maybe how your students have cheated.
That'd be great, yeah.
We'd be interested in hearing it. If you'd like to contact us more privately, feel free to do so at our email, which is exrpodcast@gmail.com. Or if you have any guests who you think would be, or any people who you think would make for interesting guests on the show, we'd love to hear about it.
That would be really appreciated, yeah. And yeah, please feel free to leave comments and give all forms of feedback. And yeah, we'll be back soon.
We'll be back soon with another episode. And so until then,
happy reading.
Happy reading.